give my talk two ways, but because the audience is not that familiar with quaternions, I'll spend a little bit of time talking about quaternions. This paper is looking at the extraction of quaternionic sources from real-world mixtures. Why is this important? The authors, Sarush Javidi, who is my PhD student, Clive, who is a postdoctoral research assistant at Imperial, Cyrus, who is somewhere there, Nicolas Lebion from France, and myself. I'm not familiar with this computer. So, quaternions are very, very much used in computer graphics in animation, where they are standard. However, in signal processing, they are still considered a little bit exotic. And there's many reasons for that. So, quaternions are a division algebra, which is a skew field over R4. A skew meaning that the quaternion product is not commutative. And it's been used basically in matrix manipulations in computer graphics because they provide perfect rotation and orientation. So in many movies now, you have stunt actors who perform some scenes, and then based on those measurements, they superimpose the actor effectively and reproduce the scene. So usually they're using quaternions for that. However, this is only matrix manipulation. So in adaptive signal processing, we need to look at many other things like gradients, then so-called circularity and such like, which I'll touch upon. And we have faced many, many problems in designing those things. And there's been resurgence of quaternion valued processing with several groups working very actively at Imperial, at Santander, Lyon, and such like. So several concepts that are now getting extended to quaternions is the concept of circularity, or so-called non-circularity, where the distribution of signal is not rotation invariant. The second thing is leading directly from that so-called widely linear model, which is the only model suitable to deal with second-order non-circular data, so-called improper. And the third problem we faced was the gradients of quaternion functions. So if you're familiar with the modeling in the complex domain, you would know that the gradient of a real number does not exist. So typically, our cost functions are error powers, they're real. However, to design, say, an LMS type of algorithm that deals with it, you need to perform the derivative or gradient of that real function. The Cauchy Riemann does not allow you to do that. And you need to resort to so-called pseudo-gradient. And there's many ways in which you can use duality between functions in R2 and functions in C to introduce so-called CR calculus, where you can have derivatives and gradients for a special class of real functions. Okay, and those are functions of complex number Z and Z conjugate. So we are going to do very similar things in the quaternion domain. So this talk is really about blind source extraction, not separation. And blind source extraction, I think, the paper I think was the first was by Delfos, and I'm not good with French names, so Nathalie Delfos was the first author. And I have learned personally quite a lot about this method from my colleague Andrzej Cichocki from RIKEN. And together we have developed several algorithms, most of them in the complex domain, using so-called augmented complex statistics to deal with the non-circularity of distributions. And this is our attempt now to extend it to the quaternion domain. Okay, how about quaternions? When we think about new technologies, so more and more we are facing so-called vector sensors. So instead of having an array of single univariate or single channel sensors, which we then combine somehow into matrices, how about our sensor being multidimensional? And this is happening very much. Many new technologies are based on vector sensor. So the first vector sensor I'll mention is the anemometer. So this gadget here measures wind speed and direction simultaneously. And this particular one is by Gill Instruments, who are collaborating with us. and you have some ultrasonic probes, and this one is 2D, so you measure simultaneously wind speed and direction. So it's a vector sensor. If you would like to measure it in 3D, you would have those probes on top as well. The second vector sensors for your work with the elderly or virtual reality is the body sensor, so 3D inertial body motion sensor. So you measure simultaneously X, Y, Z, position, velocity, and so on. And if you stick many of those to a person, then you can look at their gait, whether they're going to fall, or you can do an animation for a movie. So because I worked very much in wind processing, so here's what we do. So this is a wind farm, very typical wind farm. And you have wind turbines, which are all over the place, and these poles with those kind of crown nests on top are 3D ultrasonic anemometers. So what you're doing, you're trying to model, have optimal control of the wind farm, and also to provide prediction against any gusts or any vibrations, any problem that can break the turbine by modeling wind using a vector sensor. So our other hat is in the wind modeling, where we have many, many results. Going back again to this model and going towards movies, so if you have a stunt actor or anybody skilled performing some, say, karate sequence and such like, then you can synthesize a avatar, or you can superimpose an actor here. So for those of you who are familiar with computer games, this comes from the Tomb Raider, which is from 1996. So 1996 was the first time that quaternions were employed in commercial adventures. And if you remember the difference between this game and anything before, the fidelity of movement was enormously better. Okay. There's some other applications. And now I'll really cut everything short and go towards my subject of my talk. Quaternions. So quaternions are division algebra. So the only division algebras are reals, complex, quaternion, and octonions. If you have read the New Scientist from 2 weeks ago, there was 2 pages dedicated to octonions, where they think that the string theory and anything that comes from that can be explained very conveniently by them. Those are very, very wonderful fields. The problem is very simple. You have to sacrifice something. So if you're going from the reals to complex numbers, you lose order. So complex field is not ordered. 2 plus 2j is smaller, not bigger than 1 plus j. It doesn't exist. If you go from the complex field to quaternions, you lose commutativity of the product. So x times y is not equal y times x. And that imposes many other problems. For instance, you have left and right eigenvalues, and the right-hand side eigenanalysis is now established. However, nobody still knows how to deal with left-hand eigenvalues and so on. So I'll just give the sketch of the proof later, but I'll not prove it. I'll prove it by continuity, say, from C. And I guess I really need to rush up. The other thing that is interesting is the so-called involutions. So quaternion consists of, again, 4 coordinates that are there, and it has a real part and the imaginary part V, consisting of these I, J, and K, which are both imaginary numbers and unit vectors. So the difference between R4 and quaternions is in the R4, I, J, K, and so on are just unit vectors denoting the axis, whereas in the quaternion domain they're also imaginary numbers. So we have to be very careful about the ordering, because I, J equals K, but J, I is minus K. Again, so if you say why quaternion, not R, so let's think about the problem of rotation. So if you want to use to perform rotation using Euler angles in R3, then you would have to rotate again along X, Y, and then Z, which is somewhere there, giving this matrix. So you have to do it 3 times. In the quaternion domain, because it's a compact form of 4 coordinates or 3, this is your quaternion in its Euler form, and this is the rotation. Okay, so the benefits are then, if you are performing any image-related problem or any tracking in avionics and such like, then this would be typical trace artifact coming from those Euler matrices X, Y, Z, Whereas in the quaternion domain, you just move directly there. There's no problem. The other thing is that division algebra allows you to not to get stuck in so-called gimbal lock. So for those of you who are familiar with gyroscopes, they usually have three axes. So one, second, and third. And they will rotate. So it is possible that two of the axes coincide if you model the problems in the R3. So this is a physical gyroscope, but this is the interpretation. However, so you are losing 1 degree of freedom. So if you remember, the Apollo 11 at some point went spinning in one plane because the gyroscope went faulty. It was in the gimbal lock all the time. This cannot happen in quaternions. And of course, then the storage that you need is much smaller, because in the real in R4 you need 4 covariance matrices for 4 dimensions, and then 6 pseudo covariance matrices. In the quaternion domain you need 1 covariance matrix and 3 pseudo covariance matrices, so a saving. Let's go very quickly to subject of my talk. This is a key slide, and from then I'll just go to application. It's a widely linear modeling. So I'll introduce it by thinking about widely linear modeling in the complex domain. Think about the standard MMSE estimator, where you want to estimate the signal y in terms of the regressor x. So if they're mutually independent, then the optimal estimator is a linear model, where h is a coefficient vector and x is the regressor vector. Now, in the complex domain, people usually assume that this still holds, but you have a Hermitian here. You don't have to have a Hermitian. You can have a transpose, the coefficients are just conjugates. It doesn't matter. However, think this way. So the complex number has the real and imaginary part, and both of them are functions of the real and imaginary part of this x. But xr is x plus x conjugate over 2, and then x imaginary is x minus s conjugate over. There's some minus missing somewhere. So effectively, yr is a function of x and x conjugate, and y imaginary is a function of x and x conjugate. So if they're mutually independent, then the linear model becomes a widely linear model expressed there. And I must, this is g. This is some other vector g, not h. And this way you can capture the complete second-order statistics in the complex domain. So anything you've developed so far in C is optimal only for so-called circular data, where the distribution is rotation invariant. But all the real-world data are non-circular. And it's very simple then you can extend it to the quaternion domain this way. So you have 4 different channels, and you have 4 different coefficient vectors, and this is a so-called augmented vector, which comprises u, v, g, and h. So I'm conscious of time, I'll just go. Circularity. So this is how I got infected by circularity. I was considering wind, and this is a polar diagram of wind speed. So clearly, speeds are much stronger from some directions than from the others. And I was thinking, okay, wind is a complex vector because you have intensity and angle, so it's clearly complex. And I was trying to model simultaneously both. But the results were not so good for some wind regimes. For some of them, they were perfect. For some, they were not good. Then I discovered that this is because the standard modeling in C assumes circularity of this distribution. So as if you have a circle here, filled with data. For non-circular data, and all of them are non-circular because the wind at a side blows either from the sea or to the sea and so on, you have to use a widely linear model, and you can see some benefits. Okay, so we have developed now a new gradient for quaternions. It's a conjugate gradient, so please look at the IEEE signal processing letters, January 2011. And then the QLMS, quaternion LMS, was developed in 2009. It has this form. It has many forms. This is one of the forms. Then widely linear quaternion LMS has this form. And to show you that the widely linear model works better than the linear model for, say, non-circular wind, so there is low regime, high, and medium regime, where the gray line every time outperforms the black line, meaning the widely linear model is ideally suited for that. So this is my talk. I'll skip all the maths. So we have this blind source extraction diagram, which most of you are familiar with, where there's the separation matrix W, there's an input Y. In parallel, you like run a predictor, which in this case is widely linear. You have prediction error, which then drives both this and that. And this is the optimization problem. So we need two more, meaning U and V here. Sorry for the typo. And I'll show how this works for EEG. You can then work out how, this simplifies actually because they're diagonal. You can work out how this works, and it's given in the paper. So I'll have two results. One is for synthetic sources, where I have two non-circular synthetic sources, which are both synthetic, and I'm looking at performance index, whether the extraction vector is diagonal, has one element or not, and the second is real-world EEG. So this is the performance index. Clearly, if you use widely linear quaternion predictor, and the sources are quaternion sources, obviously, then the performance is really good, whereas for non-circular quaternion data, the standard widely linear the standard model was not sufficient. And then the thinking was that in brain-computer interface and also in NAEG research, you reject plenty of data because they're contaminated by artifacts. And those artifacts normally come from the power line and from the eye blinking. If you think about it, we have two lines, and we have horizontal and vertical movement. So in the complex domain, say, horizontal and vertical movement can be modeled very good with horizontal and vertical EOG. It's a complex number. We have two eyes, and an ordered pair of complex numbers is a quaternion. So why not develop an algorithm in the quaternion domain that extracts movements both from your right and your left eye? And we did that for various scenarios where people blink, roll their eyes, raise eyebrow, and such like. And obviously, you have some groupings, so all the frontal channels were one quaternion, all the medium channels were second quaternion, and all the rear channels were the third quaternion. And you can see it on the blinking, on the EEG in these channels that obviously because the source is close to the front of the head, then the frontal channels are much more affected by artifacts than, say, the channels at the back and such like. We used four EOG channels as a reference, so they were not part of the mixing model or anything else. We just used them to compare performance of our model with reality. And here are the results. So this is how we did it. So this is the power spectrum of the original signal. And the artifacts were eye blinks, which are low frequency and 50 hertz mains. And we performed extraction, Wideband 1. So why would you do extraction? Because in biodata, often you have many sensors. So say in MEG, you have 120 sensors. So your mixing matrix is 120 by 120, which is more than 10,000 coefficients. So you need about 1 million coefficients to converge, whereas you're interested in only one or two sources. So why not have a much smaller model and extract only sources based on some property that we can control, like sparsity or local predictability and such like. So in the left-hand diagram, we first extracted the line noise in the widely linear domain, and the standard domain was also able to extract it very well. However, when it comes to the eye blinks, so here's the power. Eye blinks have, I don't know how fast you can blink, so maybe 3, 4, 5 hertz. So the here, so clearly the widely linear extraction algorithm was able to both extract eye blinks from the mixture and suppress the 50 hertz interference, whereas the standard algorithm was not able to do that. So it suppressed also the blinks and interference remained very, very high. And at this point, I just want to show you that there's so many developments going on, especially about the diagonalization of those matrices in order to make any convergence proof. And in conclusion, quaternions, it's very natural to work in the quaternion domain, and please, if you have interest, visit my website or talk to me and my students who are there. Thank you very much. Yes, okay, I'll answer very quickly. If you look here, I didn't have much time to talk about simulations. So this is a 4D wind field. So remember my 3D ultrasonic anemometer. But clearly, air temperature or air density is correlated with wind speed. But it's much slower moving. So can we incorporate that into the model? But the answer is yes. You can have 3D wind speed and four-dimensional temperature. Take it as a real and try to say solve it using Wiener model. What happens is that the matrix is very ill-conditioned and the algorithm blows up because the wind spin dynamics and is radically smaller than the dynamics of the wind. In the quaternion domain, you do the same, but the grouping of elements in the covariance and pseudo-covariance matrices is different. And not only the matrices remain stable, but also the incorporation of wind speed or air density enhances prediction. So if you think about a matrix, everybody as a child, you had this image puzzle. You had those tiles that you moved to sort out some image. I don't know, the Snow White or whatever you had. So all the information is there in those tiles. But when the tiles are scrambled, you can maybe guess what it is, but you don't know what it is. That's the real domain modeling. And if those tiles are solved so you can see the image, it's kind of quaternion modeling. So it's much handier. It's much more robust, I think.